Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Vas Hashem BPJ share number 125. That's by spinning me joint share number 125. Just going through some points briefly from the 50 Friday Marriage Challenge by someone, Jeff and Laura Helton. That's some very good points, good advice there. We're not going into depth into this book, but we're going to come across some very important points that are brought down in this book to share. One other thing that's also something that a married couple needs to do is to discuss with each other and talk about each other, both about the highs and the lows of a particular week when they're talking. Despite the crazy schedules that they have, they need to regroup, they need to get together, spend some time together, and work through things, both recollecting and emphasizing the high points and have a karsatai for that. The lower points, again, not to get down. You could learn a way to bring and share with each other points that were less pleasant or challenging in a way that does not create anxiety, that does not create defensiveness, that does not create any negative thing, anything, any way whatsoever. But it's a matter of just sharing the normal, healthy challenges in life that each one has with each other or in the marriage or in their private life, which they talk and connect with each other that way. It's very important to work on spending meaningful time together, as busy as it gets. You could have lunch together on a regular basis sometimes, if that could be done. You go for a short walk. Night walks can be fun, could be even romantic. You could work together on things. Doesn't sound like quality time when you're both doing tasks together, but it does create a connection. Don't talk on your cell phones when you're in the car together. Turn off the radio or music and just talk in the car with each other. Work out to plan these type of date nights when possible. Work on developing hobbies together. See, married life isn't a time for just settling down, but for growth, to do new things. And with each passing year, a growing couple will actively look for new and different things they can do together. Not to fill a void, you know. It's just a matter of just doing healthy things together. And that's a very, very important concept that people generally don't do. So that's an important thing. You encourage each other. You build each other up. That is a tremendous kayach in marriage. You be each other's coach in a certain sense. You give each other strength. Someone once said this: the marriage is not joining of two worlds, but an abandoning of two worlds in order to one new one that will be formed. You cheer with each other, you support each other, and give each other encouragement. You know, life is fragile, but when you rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's not fragile because you're relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is your strength. And remember, even if there's failures, even if there's bumps in the road, that's our teacher. Every time you come up short, all that means is you learn a lesson from it and you grow. That is why when any one of them make mistakes, or they made mistakes together, or they hurt each other in the past, you work it through and you build with each other. You talk to each other in, with every aspect of life. One of those things is also money. Don't let money control you. Don't let the lack of it control you. We talked about it before. You know, you could work together on financial planning as well as part of your marriage. That's, we had once an intimacy aspects that one of them is called financial intimacy, which again, usually those two words don't go together, but that creates a bond. And the same thing also for people who are very tight financially and they're struggling. It's a big nisayon. No one's going to knock it. It creates stress. That is true. But when you love and support each other in those challenges, and you don't blame each other, and you just work with each other, and you daven together, and you do everything you can, then you could have a certain peace even while you're having this distress. It's not discounting the distress that you're feeling. It's very difficult not to pay bills or not to, when you have trouble making ends meet, it is not simple. But the nisayon is to make sure not to aggravate that problem by being angry, being defensive, being scared that way. That causes one to react in a negative way. And you hurt each other in the process. Why hurt each other more? Why add salt to wounds? Work on it together. Love each other despite the poverty or whatever it is that they're in now. You daven together for siyata d'shmaya. Try to emulate the many tzaddikim and people that had tremendous shalom bayis and loved each other despite the fact that they had financial difficulties. And you'll pull through it. HaKadosh Baruch will help that a better tzkufa financially will come and you'll see a lot of bracha. So that's another important aspect. Another idea is to recognize that on one hand you're both separate, but you're also intertwined. 1 + 1 normally equals 2. Over here, 1 + 1 sort of equals 1. One beautiful whole. So at the same time, with saying that, you have to appreciate the individuality of each person, of each one of the couple. But as marriage grows, your lives become more intertwined, more connected. You learn more how to love and cherish each other. So that is an important point. To bring bracha into your home, to bring bracha into your house. By emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By bringing in midos tovos into the house. To apologize when you do something wrong. Express regret. I am sorry. I feel terrible. Or accepting responsibility. You know, I was wrong. To make restitution. You know, what can I do to make it right? And to really repent. Tshuva. Tshuva. Bein adam l'chaveray. Tshuva bein ish l'ishtay. I will work on bli neder never to do that harmful thing again. And can you please forgive me? You learn the art of apology. You learn the language of apology. Not to offer just a flippant, oh, I'm sorry, which is not an apology at all. Usually an apology is not just saying the word, I'm sorry, which is a very generic word, but it's specific. Without excuses, without blame, you're expressing regret on a specific thing. And it's not just words, actions. Part of your apology is that your action subsequent to that changes your behavior. You no longer are hurtful in that behavior anymore. You no longer use those harsh words. You no longer say mean things or whatever else that you did wrong. It's interesting. There's this line that says here, it takes one person to forgive. It takes two people to be reunited. So it's an acceptance of the forgiveness plus the giving of the forgiveness. A big insight in marriage also is to realize it's a mission in life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put you together for a mission. He wants you both to use your kaychis together to fulfill a mission that Hashem has given you and is giving you, to strengthen yourself as a couple and also to spread outward what you need to spread. You are accomplishing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to accomplish when you thrive and have a successful marriage. To be humble with each other, to be gentle with one another, and to remember that always. To remember that always. And of course, Shmiras Haloshen. Chayim v'hamavis biyad haloshen. That is such an important thing that we talked about so many times. The idea of telling truth, not to lie. To deal with your anger well if you are angry. To try to never use words to hurt. Only use hurt words to build. Try your best to do that as best as you could. When you're frightened, you turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The key is when you are frightened about things, sometimes it come go, you know, as a defensiveness in that fear, you get angry, agitated. Anger is usually a secondary emotion. It's usually coming from a fear of worthlessness, a fear of vulnerability, whatever it is. It's very, very important to overcome that fear that creates this anger. and be vulnerable and recognize what it is. Now, conflict in marriage is inevitable. You will have some conflict. It's never perfect. But the idea is to work with each other in those conflicts. Genuine peace does not mean an absence of all conflict. What it does mean is that when conflict arises, they are handled with respect and with love and with care, because loving and pleasing and honoring Hashem is reestablished when you do that. It's very important. And of course, another big yisoid in marriage, count your blessings. Count your blessings. Many couples struggle because of that lack of hakaras hatayiv and the simple things in life we sort of discard or put it aside with those little annoyances that if we don't concentrate becomes bigger annoyances. It's interesting, Albert Einstein, he said this wise thing once. He said, there are only two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle, and the other is as though everything is a miracle. That's what you have to look. Every day there are constant miracles. And in your marriage, if you look carefully, you'll see constant miracles in your marriage. Another thing in marriage also is to create a safe place, to learn how to listen in a healthy way. I just learned today, oizen, the word ear, is gematria chen, 58. Because by listening, having a listening ear, you bring chen, you bring grace, so that the one who is listening to you will feel a chen towards you, and you will feel a chen towards the other by listening. One author once put it this way: the first duty of love is to listen. And sometimes listening takes courage, because sometimes you don't want to hear necessarily what is being said. But developing good listening skills is critical for an intimate and healthy relationship. We need to develop it. The speaker has the floor. Only one speaker per conversation. The other person is the listener. Of course, in the middle of the conversation, you could switch roles, but be cognizant and be aware. Now we're switching roles. So, for example, the husband is talking first, let's say, go either way. Wife listens, finish what he has to say. She listened fully. After processing it, the wife speaks, and he listens. No problem solving in this. It's just focusing on the actual discussion, not necessarily solutions. For the one who speaks, don't try to read the other person's mind. You talk about your feelings, your thoughts, and your concerns. Don't assume the other one is supposed to know about it already. You verbalize it well. And else it's important you stop and then let the listener paraphrase you. The listener needs to paraphrase what you hear, to briefly repeat what you heard in your own words to show that you were listening. And focus on the speaker's message. Don't rebut, don't offer opinions, don't offer thoughts, don't offer raias against or for it. Winston Churchill used to have a lot of good quotes. One of his quotes was that courage is what it takes to stand up and speak. Courage is also what it takes to sit down and listen. Those are two types of courage. Sometimes it's the courage to speak. Sometimes it's the courage to simply listen. To put your heart into everything. Hashem made us both emotional and rational. Emotion and reason in a healthy balance is what we need to learn. The mayach and the lev and the mayach, and to work together towards that. Intimacy can grow only in a place of safety. When husband and wife are afraid of hurt or rebuff or criticism or misunderstandings, they'll find it difficult to touch or to share freely. If you want real intimacy in your marriage, you'll have to establish trust in your relationship. Anemonis. A true, trustworthy connection and relationship. Okay, so this is briefly some of the points brought down in this book. It's Kedai Techazer. It has a lot of separate things that we spoke about today, like 20 different tidbits of things in this year and the last year. And really, we listen to both, and whatever ideas come to your mind as you're listening as a couple, to enhance your relationship, to start working on these things, would be very, very beneficial in your marriage. Bracha v'atzlacha.